This is the Brian Hayes Show on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
I absolutely do not. But I was just thinking that if I was in like a sitcom, this would be the music that follows me around when I'm walking around town. It would be not even remotely appropriate or in any way or shape or form, but I would like it to be. Just like I would like my nickname, Macho Harris, the now former Saskatchewan Rough Riders defensive back. I would like my nickname to have been Macho. It was never going to be. Because
as in Macho Man.
Or Macho Man Savage. As just Macho Taylor. But I was not a macho at any point in my life. Yeah. Maybe when I was Sunny in Greece, singing Grease Lightning. Maybe I was macho then back in high school, but not anymore.
Yes, fine. When you were in the lead in the High School Musical, that was when you were...
That was
most
when I was
macho.
At my finest, way. Wags and DT of Sports Center takes over the Brian Hayes Show. Thank you so much for being with us. We love hearing from you on Twitter as well, at TSN 1050 Radio, at Kara underscore Wagland, at DT on SC, where several people are with me in that it is way too early to be talking the explicit details of making a murderer.
We're not giving anything away. We're just talking about it.
At Souk Knight 11, can you please stick to sports, not ruin TV shows people have not had a chance to see yet, at Kara Wagland. Jefferson James, at Jeff James with a bunch of 69s after it. Don't talk about making a murder. Extremely rude. You want to talk about it, do it off the air, at Kara underscore Wagland.
It's the worst thing I've ever done. I don't think I've had this. This is a lot of Twitter hate. Wow.
You gotta, we're in a new era. With a movie, if you saw The Revenant, which opened January 8th.
Okay.
When is it no longer spoiler alert time for you? It's now been
like a month after. Like, I would talk freely about Star Wars at this point.
Okay, December 18th opening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I'm the person who walked out of the Star Wars movie who wanted to yell at the top of my lungs, oh my god, he died!
Who would have thought Darth Vader was Luke's father? That's you.
The line of people about to walk into the theater.
You're the worst. You're the people. Remember the movie The Crying Game?
No, that's before my time.
Oh, pardon me. It wasn't Crying Game. It was Basic Instinct. Pardon me. Oh no, it could have been.
Those are very different movies.
Yeah, but both have shocking kind of twists, right? So people were so mad at the twist in one of them. And if you're out there
Instinct,
on Twitter,
Sharon Stone.
And you can help me pretend it was Basic Instinct, that they were so mad at this movie that they would go to people in line and they handed out cards spoiling the twist in the movie. You're like,
that's a little mean.
You're not the worst people on earth, but you can see the worst people from where you are standing currently.
I'm the person who spoils the movie without meaning to spoil it. Like, I don't mean,
so
I'm
you're
not
thoughtless and rude.
To be
okay, yeah, I get it.
A-hole. I'm just, it happens sometimes.
Do you have an example that comes to mind immediately?
Yeah, I was going to see one of the Harry Potters with some friends and.
The Deathly Hallows? The
Sorcerer's Stone? I can't
remember which one it was.
And one of the, it
was
Hermione's another couple.
Gold? I don't know.
I don't
what they
remember.
Were.
One of the couple we were going with, she was in the midst of reading the book. And my thought, I don't know what I was thinking. We're going to go see the movie. You're going to find out anyway. But I let it out of the bag that Dumbledore dies. And her boyfriend at the time was really angry at me for ruining that for her. And I didn't. Like, in my mind, I was like, but you're about to, oh, no, but you haven't gotten to that part in the book yet. Oh, sorry.
TSN 1050's Josh Lewenberg, Raptors reporter, joins us. Josh, what's your take? Say Creed. You were talking about Creed, and you wanted to talk to some friends about Tweed. When is the spoiler alert time over for movies?
Wait. Hold up. Dumbledore dies?
I'm so sorry.
Hashtag spoiler alert. Hashtag Wags did it again.
I didn't mean to do it.
It depends on the movie. See, for I guess the most recent case would be Star Wars being such a big deal. For a movie like Star Wars, you got to wait at least a month before you're going around in public talking about it. I remember I was on the way to the Raptors game, walking there, probably, I think, a day or two before I saw the movie, before I saw Star Wars, and there was a guy behind me on his cell phone talking about it loudly, spoilers and everything, and I've
really?
Never walked so fast in my life, guys. It was some workout.
Wow.
So that opened December 18th, so like on the weekend I can start talking about what happened in Star Wars if I know. You're cool with that?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
So the Revenant, I have to wait almost till Oscar time. It opened January 8th. I have to wait. We know he survives the bear fight, but whatever Tom Hardy does to him, I got to hold off on that. What about TV shows? What about weekly serial shows?
Do you watch Making a Murderer? Let's get that out of the way. Do you watch Making a Murderer?
I don't. Two days for TV shows. 2 days. That allows the PVR folks to catch up.
For weekly serial shows.
But what about like Netflix shows?
Oh, Netflix. I think Netflix is fair game.
Really?
Ooh.
So you would have had me on Boxing Day going through the airport being like, hey, did you see what they did to that 16-year-old? Oh, that was... Yikes.
See, I don't watch a lot of Netflix, so I don't know. That isn't my area of expertise.
I'm assuming you're a Crave TV guy, and you can't wait for Paul Giamatti and that redheaded dude in Billions coming up, right?
Who has time for all those TV guys?
DT, who stays up till 7 a.m. every day.
Am I the only one who does not have a life? This is amazing. This is amazing. Well, you are doing a lot. See, I am not in my full season form. I'm waiting for the CFL to come back. But you are in full season form following our Toronto Raptors. Number 2 in the East. I think that would qualify them to be the 5th best team in the West and looking good. And why is there no the All-Star game less than a month away? Why is there no uproar? Why is there no get Patrick Patterson to the All-Star game too? Where's the clamor?
I don't know. Would Patrick Patterson be able to get to the All-Star game? Is that doable?
Let's focus on Kyle and DeMar first, we'll move on from there.
If Jeremy Lin can get 165,000 votes, Patrick Patterson can get some love. Come on.
Let me ask you this. Do you hold it against a Canadian, Justin Bieber, for backing Chris Paul instead of, say, Kyle Lowry?
Yes, absolutely. How do we disown him?
I think we already have, let's be honest.
Come on now. Different conferences. That
is it too late to say sorry? Is that the same?
last year, the Biebs tweeted out for Kyle Lowry, only he botched the hashtag. So none of the retweets, I think it probably got upwards of 30,000 retweets, and none of them counted as votes because he didn't hashtag it properly. So
no.
I guess he's just given up altogether this year. Drake hasn't done it this year. I don't think Drake did it last year either. So, I mean, I don't know. I think the Raptors have been campaigning hard for Lowry and DeRozan both. In terms of the players themselves, like I know we've seen campaign videos from Andre Drummond and go back to Chris Bosh's time with the Raptors. He put out a few videos as well. It's just not in their nature, either of them, Lowry or DeRozan. They're both very proud. I can't see them. I think they would view it as sort of begging for votes. They'd both love to be there. They'd both love to represent the Raptors, especially together as a duo, and they deserve it given how good they've been for this team. But I can't see either of them doing something like that. I think they're happy to have the team campaign for them and sort of just hope for the best. I mean, the city of Toronto, the country of Canada, came through for Lowry last year, and they did it in the 11th hour. He was trailing Dwayne Wade in all three voting updates last year. He's trailing Kyrie Irving in all three voting updates this year. So it'll be interesting to see. Voting closes on Monday. The starters are announced on Thursday. It'll be very interesting to see if Lowry can make that push again.
I think there'll be a late push this year as well. But I can defend Justin Bieber in botching the hashtag because I had a major fail on Twitter. I tweeted out, I didn't realize that if you put the first and last name of the player and the hashtag NBA vote, that it counts as a vote. Mm-hmm. And when Kyrie Irving first came back, I tweeted how crazy is it that Kyrie Irving is leading the All-Star votes for point guards when he's only played 2 games, hashtag NBA vote, and people just jumped all over me, and they're like, that's a vote for Kyrie Irving.
So now if Kyrie starts and beats Lowry by one vote, we'll know who to blame.
I know, it's my fault. People were like, delete that now.
That's like voting for Donald Trump, what you did there.
It was really bad. It was really bad.
Unbelievable.
That's a low point.
That's shocking. I'm going to just move my chair a little bit more to the right because I don't want to be.
I deleted it right away and sent out an NBA vote for Kyle Lowry immediately, but the damage is done.
The interesting twist, and I wrote about this the other day, is if Kyrie does get in, if he's voted in by the fans ahead of Lowry, that's one less spot available for DeMar DeRozan or any of the other guards in the Eastern Conference because, of course, Kyrie has played whatever it is, 10, 11 games this year. He almost certainly wouldn't be voted in by the coaches if he doesn't get voted in by the fans. So he'd pick up an extra spot. Lowry would probably be the Raptor that gets voted in by the coaches as a reserve. But if Lowry doesn't get voted in by the fans, that might cost DeMar DeRozan his spot. So I've been saying a vote for Lowry right now is probably also a vote for DeRozan. It's the best chance, probably doubling the chances that the Raptors will have two representatives in the game.
That's a decent point. He's a TSN 1050 Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. And Josh, this is what I'm not really getting about all of this. Oh, we've got to get our guys to the All-Star game. Growing up, my parents told me, don't worry about popularity contests. Don't be worried about who's popular. Maybe they're doing that to make me feel better because the math club gang wasn't the finest gang in the land. But we as fans were so, oh, if they don't get to the All-Star game, if they're not a starter in the All-Star game, it's going to be a travesty. It's literally a popularity contest. Kobe Bryant, who's probably the second least efficient player, is going to be a starter in the All-Star game.
But that's different because this is Kobe's farewell. He should be there. But
popularity contest.
My argument is this matters because it's in Toronto.
It matters that he's in the game. It doesn't – that he's a starter? He's I don't – if he's in the game, if Kyle's in the game, Kyle will be like, yeah, I'm an All-Star. I'm glad to be here. I take part in the skills competition. Maybe. Let's see. But he'll be an All-Star, and that's kind of what he wants to say. Where do you go with this, Josh?
Lowry and DeRozan have both embraced Toronto as much or more than any Raptor ever has. So I think, Kara, you're right. I think that has a lot to do with it, the fact that the game is here in Toronto, in Canada, for the first time ever. They both want to be there. They both want to be representing the team and be a part of the weekend. But that said, the game is meaningless. The process couldn't be more flawed. You mentioned the popularity contest with the fan voting. But know what? The coaches voting, the coach voting for reserves, that process is pretty flawed too. What most people don't realize is there's a lot of politics that are involved. And I'll give you an example. Let's say there's one guard spot that's really up for grabs. We assume that Jimmy Butler will make it. John Wall will make it. Probably Kyle Lowry, if he doesn't get voted in, will make it. So let's say there's one spot left. And let's say hypothetically it's Reggie Jackson versus DeMar DeRozan that most people figure are up for that spot. Stan Van Gundy, the coach of the Pistons, he can't vote for his own player. He can't vote for Reggie Jackson. In addition to campaigning with his coaching buddies, sending out texts, making calls to say, vote for Reggie, what he could do is say, I'm filling out my ballot. I'm going to vote for the locks. I'm going to vote for Jimmy Butler and John Wall. And instead of voting for DeMar DeRozan, who's competing with my guy, I'm going to throw away my vote and vote for Jeremy Lin. So it's a flawed process no matter how you look at it. It shouldn't matter. But it's what I've always found strange is when we're assessing a player's legacy, a player's career after he retires, and we're debating whether or not he should be a Hall of Famer. What's one of those things that are always talked about?
11-time All-Star.
Exactly.
Bonkers. Drives me. And same with the NFL. He's an All-Pro in the NFL. There are 12 All-Pro quarterbacks every year in the NFL. Pro Bowl quarterbacks, All-Pro and All-NBA are the things we should care about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Championships. Statistics and even
but All-Stars, it's flawed from the top to the bottom. And apart from the NBA, the other three they're just unwatchable. I can watch the NBA All-Star game, the NBA All-Star weekend. The Pro Bowl's on. I honestly
won't
watch anything else. Watch whatever show you making it, not making the other one Scandal. I'll watch Scandal over the over the Pro Bowl.
Well, it's a fun event, I think, for the city hosting it. It'll be great for all of us here in Toronto this year. We're going to watch it because we're interested to see what kind of circus they throw, what kind of party the city, the organization, the Raptors throw. But next year, I can't say that I'll be as interested in it as I am this year. And as far as the festivities surrounding the All-Star game, things that I used to be interested in, the slam dunk contest, the three-point shootout, those have sort of lost their luster over the years as well. So, I mean, I'm interested to see who enters the ring, who puts their hat in the ring for the slam dunk contest. Perhaps if maybe a Raptor does it, if Ross or DeRozan do it, which is unlikely. If Wiggins does it, then that could be interesting.
Yeah, that would be great.
As far as the game itself, I mean, there's no defense played. It's after 5 or 10 minutes, after you see your guys, if DeRozan and Lowry are in, after we see them for a few minutes, yeah, I mean, it really doesn't offer much.
It'd be great to have as many Raptors involved in the entire weekend as we
Patrick
can.
Patrick Patterson for NBA All-Star. I'm going to tweet it out now. NBA vote.
How amazing would that be? Josh Lewinberg, TSN 1050 Raptors reporter. Thank you, good sir.
All the best, guys.
Very much appreciated.
Should we pull our own, like, John Scott situation, just, like, hashtag get Bruno there or something? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
Bruno,
let's get Baby there. Let's get Baby there.
See, have we thought of that a while back? It's gonna start happening, right? Because the fans in the NHL know it's a joke.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we can just put in whoever we want. That Jeremy Lin has a ton of votes, and his 12 points a game.
Like, yeah.
Come on. To Josh's point about 11-time All-Star, that drives me berserk nowadays, because I had to go back and calculate it, because, oh, he's a 4-time Pro Bowler at quarterback. I'm like, okay, well, I got to go see. And years there are 10 and 11 Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah.
A third of the league is a Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. It's so meaningless. But you get the game here. You get to have some fun. It's going to be the atmosphere around it and what we all as fans bring to it, right?
I am disappointed in Drake, though. What do you think is worse, the fact that Justin Bieber is repping someone else, or that Drake hasn't been more vocal about getting Kyle and DeMar there?
Well, as the club's, what, ambassador or
yeah, he's the global
style
ambassador
guru
of the team.
Yeah, I would have thought there'd be some OVO for Kyle Lowe or whatever.
That's,
you know, think of a clever rhyme
terrible.
And then put that out there.
Wow.
You want to hear me sing Grease Lightning, though?
No.
Because then I will rock that
up. What else we got on tap?
Yes, we got James Duthie coming up at 3:30. We'll talk a little more NFL as well. It's the Brian Hayes Show with Wags and DT on TSN 1050 and TSN.ca. I was this close to busting out an old terrible Bill Cosby impression about the rap music. Is that doable anymore?
Nope.
It used to be really fun. Like, it used to be
not
a lot of fun
all.
Doing a Bill Cosby impression.
Not
became
even a little bit.
A lot less fun. The Bill Cosby dance, the Bill Cosby sweaters. It's just, so different. It's a different world than where you come from. Wags and DT, the Brian Hayes Show. Aussie Open starts Sunday night. I don't know why we have this.
So exciting.
And why it's not Monday morning, but, you know, whatever. I'm not time zones, whatever it might be.
Well, yeah, it's in Australia.
Jeannie Bouchard, Cibulkova she beat in the...
Cibulkova, yeah.
Cibulkova, there we go, in the Hobart.
Semifinals. So now she's got Alizé Cornet in the final. It's
okay.
The first final she's reached since Wuhan in 2014. That's the only other title she's won. So this will be her second career title, and with everything she's dealt with last year and the concussion at the U.S. Open, this is... good for Jeannie right now.
When Kelsey and Laura are up there killing it, giving us all the broadcasts across the TSN network, we want to know, how's Jeannie going to do? How is Milos Raonic going to do? How are the Canadians going to do? What do their draws look like?
So it's interesting. Jeannie had a pretty favorable draw. She's in Serena Williams' half, but she's in Aggie Radwanska's quarter. So Serena and Maria Sharapova put into the same quarter. So Jeannie will face Alexander Krunic in the first round. They've never played before. She's like world number 121. Because she's unseeded, it's the first time she's been unseeded in a major in a really long time, they could have thrown her up against Serena in the first round. So she drew a pretty favorable opening round match against
Krunic.
That's
pretty good, yeah.
If she can make it through, her biggest test next would be against Aggie Radwanska in the second round. So not a bad draw for her. Milos has a bit of a tougher draw. He's seeded 13th. So he's going to face Lucas Pui first round. He just beat him like a week ago in Brisbane.
Nice.
If you remember, he won the Brisbane final against Roger Federer, who was battling with the flu. But still, like, it's only the second time he's beaten Feds in his career. So he's in Stan Wawrinka's quarter. Rafa's also in that quarter, but Rafa isn't really Rafa right now. So and Raonic beat Wawrinka in an exhibition match in Abu Dhabi just a few weeks ago. Now, that was Wawrinka's first match of the season. So take from it what you will. But Milos is playing unbelievable tennis right now. He had so many injuries and just wasn't himself last year. So I'm expecting really big things from Milos in this one. Now, his first biggest test could be Tommy Robredo or Victor Troicki in his quarter. But He's not bad. Vasek Pospisil has a bit of a rougher draw. He's got Gilles Simon in the first round. And then he's in Novak Djokovic's quarter. So he's got a bit of a heart. And he's going to be competing with Jack Sock in doubles, which I always love the Pop Sox. They're fantastic in doubles. I love watching them in doubles action. It's
fantastic. I rooted through your purse, would I find any Pop Sox in here?
No, not this purse.
All right, good
stuff. Not this purse.
So, but I want to know, how is Jeannie going to do? Because Jeannie was the darling of 2014, 2015 was a train wreck. It was if the Denzel movie Unstoppable had ended in the worst possible way. So I just want her to be back and be better and be what she can be.
And I feel like last year became largely a mental thing for Jeannie. Like, there wasn't really anything wrong with her. I mean, she had the concussion at US Open, but prior to that, it was largely a mental thing. She went through Saviano and then Samsumic, and she just couldn't seem to get a flow going. She looks really good to start this season. So I'm optimistic, cautiously hopeful. She's playing really well. And it's funny because I was talking to one of their sports anchors last night, and they were saying, well,
name
so
dropper.
Close to, yes, so close to the Aussie Open, why wouldn't she just take a walk over in Hotman and just prepare for the Aussie? For me, getting a win at Hotman would be huge mentally for her and the momentum to carry that into the Aussie Open. I think it's less about preparing physically, because she's been prepared physically for matches before. It's been a mental game. So to win, if she can win a few matches in a row like she has at Hotman, if she can win the title here, which is doable against Alizé Cornet, then, I mean, that momentum is more important for me, in my perspective, going into Aussie than resting up and getting a walkover.
Well, and it's not in any way unusual for a tennis player to be playing into the weekend before a major, like be playing right up to the start of a major.
Yeah. I mean,
it's in no way, it's like a golfer ahead of the Masters playing the tournament before, wherever the John Deere falls in, whatever it is. It's what they do. They're used to it. Would there be any benefit to it? I can't wait to see it. We're hoping for big things from all the Canadians, including Pop Sock in doubles.
Love the Pop Socks.
TSN 2 and TSN 4 start Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Kelsey Braid and Laura Dykin will be there to take us all the way through it. James Duthie joins us at 3:30. We might talk about sports. We definitely won't talk about Making a Murderer. We might talk about Billions starting soon on Crave TV, BT Dubs. But right now, you know, you don't like Paul Giamatti? Oh, we'll talk about this.
I don't even know what that is.
If I gave you 1,000-to-1 odds when Good Vibrations came out, and we weren't sure which Wahlberg was the better Wahlberg, if I said, this guy will be a movie star, and I gave you 1,000-to-1, how much money would you have bet at that time?
On Marky Mark?
On Mark
Once
Wahlberg.
Once I saw him in his Calvins, a lot of money.
But being a movie...
Speaking of guys in their Calvins.
Yes, but there's a strata between being hot and being a movie star. There's a million hot people who are terrible at movies.
You didn't see the it factor in him right away?
I might have seen underwear commercials, but... James,
are you guys on the air?
We are. James Duthie from TSN Hockey joins us. If I gave you 1,000-to-1 odds when Good Vibrations came out and said, this guy will be a movie star, an A-list star...
Yeah.
How much money would you have bet?
I probably would have said no. Although, really? You're right, if you have the body, I mean, that's probably what people said about me, but when you have the body, things happen, right?
Yeah, but, that's, yikes.
What was his first breakthrough movie, Marky Mark?
It was that...
That's good. I mean, he was amazing in The Fighter.
Somebody go on
IMDb.
It was
that thriller movie. It was that where he...
Fear.
Thank
in
you.
Seattle, when he busts into the house, he's
when
the creeper
crazy.
Or whatever.
He,
yeah.
Well, okay. He played crazy well.
I never did see that one, but that's the one that people would talk about. Yeah. Hey, it's James Duthie. Happy New Year to you, my friend. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. How's it going?
It's all right. Before we talk about anything...
Good to see you guys back together.
It's good. They're
trying to keep us apart.
I know. That's BS. You were like my favorite pairing. And now, never again, maybe.
Maybe never. Someone works at 5 p.m., and I'm not coming to the office that early.
No,
that is, buddy, the World Juniors was basically kind of like a 9-to-5 shift for me. I can't do that. I cannot do daytime stuff.
It's really weird.
Ever.
It's really weird. I feel like I have jet lag.
It's not right. No, I know. I don't even start functioning till right around now, like 6 p.m., 7 p.m., and those people that do like Canada AM and stuff, like you'd literally have to kill me before I ever did that. Should you do that?
2.5 years, worked from 4 a.m. till noon.
No, that's insane. Like, how do you function?
There's a lot of caffeine, but honestly,
but you never sleep normally, right? You never fall into a pattern, do you?
No, you really don't. Like, because some days, you know, you sleep from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Right,
and then you go home and you have a nap afterward. If you're a shift worker, you know what I'm talking about. It's odd.
I asked Jeff Hutchison that, who's been doing Canada AM for 18 years. I said, what time do you go to sleep? He goes, I've never gotten used to it. I still wake up 5 times a night, look at the clock.
Really?
18 years.
Wow. No, so I got to...
Basically a zombie.
I got to the point where I would just pop awake at 3:02 before my second alarm clock went off just because. But yeah, you just...
The worst.
You just get used
to
it.
Did I ever tell you the story? When the worst one ever was when we did UFA, the World Juniors at UFA.
Yeah.
So our pregame show started about like 3 a.m. and the games would start at 4 a.m. or something. And I was such a mess. They put me at a hotel... And I couldn't sleep, so my buddy Puffy says, you got to take NyQuil. So I started popping NyQuil.
And Puffy told me that for a lot of things, actually.
And it wasn't working, so I ended up popping like 3 shots of NyQuil one night. And I forgot I had a radio interview with Saskatchewan at like 8 p.m. So like about 6 p.m., I take 3 shots of NyQuil, and I'm out. And you know how radio, so my radio, my phone rings in the hotel room and I pick up the phone. You know how radio works. It's like, hey, James, you're on with Big Dave and the Bear in 5 seconds. Here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? There's no preamble, right?
No.
And so I'm on and they're like, hey, James Duffy, what do you think of that Russia Czech game? And I literally could not speak. And they thought, they cut off the interview after about 2 minutes because they thought I was drugged, which I was. I was going, the Canadas are got a gold. And they literally started laughing and cut me off, and I had to like call back and apologize the next day. So that was the one time I was high on radio.
All because of the NyQuil.
You were Leo in that scene of Wolf of Wall Street where he took the lemonheads. You then dragged yourself to your Lamborghini and got to the studio on time, right?
I sounded like Bob Dylan, essentially.
Amazing.
Did you see Jimmy Fallon doing Bob Dylan doing Hotline Bling?
No.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, he did Bob Dylan doing Hotline Bling, which he kind of stole. I kind of was resentful because the one time I ever did a karaoke, I was kind of drunk in a bar.
On NyQuil, obviously.
On NyQuil, I was going to say, clearly.
And I did Bob Dylan doing Madonna's Papa Don't Preach.
Which, come on.
Yeah, and it was like, I'm keeping that baby. You know that?
Yes.
And I won. That was the only time
no
I ever
way.
Karaoke, so I retired an undefeated champion, so I kind of feel like you ripped me off.
Anyway,
I don't know where we're going.
That's a straight-up Seinfeld. I choose not to karaoke from now on. That's all right.
I'm keeping my baby.
The place of the show has gone.
That is amazing. TSN Hockey's James Duthie. We're trying to figure out John Scott in the process of being traded to a different conference than the one he was supposed to be the captain. Is this good for hockey or is this bad for hockey? Because I feel bad for John Scott and all this, obviously.
Oh, I mean, this thing, I think it's still going to happen. They'll probably just find a way to and once the All-Stars are there, they're there. Have they made any sort of announcement on the thing? I don't think the thing becomes any more of a joke or less of a joke that he's not even in that conference anymore.
The whole thing, it seems... They're not. People aren't trying to hurt his feelings, but if I'm John Scott, my feelings are kind of hurt by this thing.
Well, he was an irrelevant player, so that's when you do a joke like this, and all the online voters who made it happen, that's what's going to happen because the team doesn't care. Coyotes don't care. They're not like, oh well, we can't send John Scott to the minors, or we can't trade John Scott's contract away because, you know, he's going to be the All-Star captain in 2 weeks. They don't care. It's completely irrelevant to them. So I guess it just makes it funnier. I think the whole thing's stupid.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
It is. But again, the league opened itself up to this by not changing the rules. They had opportunities. This happened with Rory Fitzpatrick a few years ago where he almost got voted on when he was with the Canucks. That was the first time it happened. And then it happened with who? On the Sabres.
Oh, Gergesen's?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they could have changed the rules, and now they're going to change the rules. Dregs was reporting the other night. They're going
to
make
good.
Sure. It needs to happen.
Yeah, they're going to say, okay, you can submit 5 guys from each team or something. Those are the only guys you can vote for. But
that gets to be problematic, too, because you're going to miss somebody,
that's the
right?
The old baseball ballots. I can remember being a kid at Expos games punching out the baseball ballots for Rock Raines and Andre Dawson. And you're right. Then you'd have to there was a spot where you could write in a name to get on. And there's problems with that, too. But boy, I've never seen anything take up more time and airspace than
he's still trending on Twitter. It's crazy.
Yeah, he was number one in Canada once Bob McKenzie started reporting of the trade where he's going to Montreal once this it's all
and
solved in a freeway deal.
Never play, will he?
So you're saying this isn't the answer the Habs have been looking for?
I don't think this is the solution.
Can he play in net?
You know what? If they lose like one or two more games, and you know Vancouver loses. Vancouver or Winnipeg or Ottawa, Vancouver and Ottawa lose. Like, there could be no Canadian teams in the playoffs within, like, by the end of the weekend. I have to ask one of our stats guys, like Gibby. I don't know when the last time there was 0 out of 7 Canadian teams in a playoff position. And that would suck. I mean, that would really, really be bad for the entire country if. I don't think that'll happen. Someone's going to make it. Someone's going to make it in that Calgary or
when you have 3-1 division, you got to get something out of that, right?
You'd think you did. Although the way Arizona's playing and Anaheim hasn't been that good, there's a decent chance that it goes LA, you know, and then between Arizona, San Jose, and Anaheim, they take those last two spots. And then you have all of them out west, and Ottawa's not looking great right now. And boy, that would just be, like I said, I think Montreal gets in and maybe one of them gets in the West or maybe Ottawa gets in the East. But to have 0 in playoff positions is a bit of a disaster.
Carey Price is coming back at some point. Montreal will turn some stuff around.
I mean, we hope.
There was a little GIF or whatever, 30-second thing I saw on Twitter of him skating today, and he is still taking it extremely gingerly.
Yeah.
He was doing just that sort of spread-legged MC Hammer.
Basically, the Chinese typewriter. Like
that's what he was basically doing, and he was doing it so gingerly that he can't be that close.
All right. Well, Bob McKenzie has a little news for us today. Joined our friends on TSN 690 in Montreal because we're kind of curious watching this whole Jonathan Drouin situation go along. Bob's telling us that St. Louis is a huge, huge player in this one, and he says there's nothing done. But they're on their way to getting something going there. What are we to make of Drouin's? He's still an embryo, and yet it's done in Tampa Bay.
Right. Well, I would never laugh at a Bob tweet. And if Bob says it's serious with St. Louis, then it's probably really serious with St. Louis. Because Bob has a way of always being right, even when he's guessing somehow. But there's been tweets every day. I'm hearing that Ottawa has interest in Drouin. Hearing that I'm sure 28 teams have called about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And
as long as you don't want the farm,
exactly.
Will you take John Scott for him? Because we'll take him right away.
But Steve Yzerman's proven to be. I still think one of the most remarkable trades we've seen in the past decade was the Marty St. Louis trade. Because when you have one team to deal with. And about a week, and he came out with 2 first rounders and Ryan Callahan, which was unbelievable, really, considering. So I think Steve Yzerman's a tough guy to deal with in the sense that he will be demanding a lot. But St. Louis makes the most sense, a team that's had talent, underachieving, can't score again for some reason besides Tarasenko. So that would make sense. And they have guys to give back. And Western Conference is probably a much more likely place for him to end up. Steve, you never like trading a guy like that in your division who could come back and haunt you for the next 10 years.
Do you think it causes some pause for potential suitors for Drouin, though, to see like his agent making it public that he wants the trade? Like, I'm looking at this as a young player and thinking, is this really what you want to be dealing with?
Yeah, I think
that's a bad look for a young player.
I mean, his whole first few years have been a bad look. He came to camp out of shape, I think, in his first year or in his second year. All those things are, I don't think they're red flags, though. I think they're just yellow flags. I think that people say, okay, it's a young guy who expected to have success right away and looked at the guys who got picked ahead of him and they were having success right away, and why can't I, and why am I not in there getting a chance to grow and fail instead of having to work my way into the lineup? And I think he really felt like he never had a chance there. And I think there's been good people that have not worked out in certain places and then have gotten traded, then things have worked out. Kyle Turris is a great example. So Kyle Turris, the same sort of things that were being said about Jonathan Drouin were being said about Kyle Turris in Arizona. A bit of a moody kid, you know, he doesn't really fit in here. And what happens, you know, he goes to Ottawa and he becomes a really solid contributor to that hockey team. So I think that GMs and coaches in the league understand youth and understand that 18 and 19-year-olds probably that they will give them a chance. Now, if he went somewhere else and then the same stuff happened, then major red flags would go up. But I don't think that would stop anybody from trading for him.
Blackhawks and Leafs tonight, 7 p.m. on TSN 4. Darren Dreger talking about the Leafs this morning with Mike Richards in the morning, says he expects the Leafs are actually going to be worse next season. I don't know if we expected that necessarily.
No, I thought was kind of like the basement. This was the launching point, and now he's saying, well, no, it could get a little worse before it gets better.
Young kids are going to join the club next year.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, and I think that's the, if you read between the lines of what Lou Lamoriello's been trying to say over the last couple of days, like, now you're getting more of the, everybody's happy kind of in Leafland saying it's been the perfect season. Even though they're down near the bottom, they've been respectable, and they have been. They've been competitive. It's a team that the fans are okay to cheer for because they see the effort, unlike that debacle of the second half last year.
Yeah.
And there's hope finally. I mean, the World Juniors was a great thing for Leaf fans, even though Canada flamed out. Because you had, for the first time ever, like four guys who were actually out there, and you could say, oh, these guys are pretty good. They might help us. So I think it's a possibility if you bring in some of those young guys next year and deal some of these veterans at the deadline in the offseason that you will take a step back. But then 2 years, I'm really, like, 2 years down the road is, I think, it's crazy to say that, right, when you're a fan and you have to say, okay, let's skip all of next year.
Yeah.
But
they're 2 years away from being 1 year away.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Which is what we've been saying about the Oilers for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Very. But when the Oilers get Austin Matthews this year, that's going to be amazing.
But I really think so. I actually think that the Leafs are targeting, what would that be, 17, 18?
Yeah.
17, 18 as the year that they start to take steps, really significant steps forward.
He is the TSN Hockey's James Duthie, but he is San Francisco 49ers fan, James Duthie. Probably third most of all. Chip Kelly, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm not angry or anything. I'm just indifferent because they'll never. Their GM sucks, and their owner is one of the worst in the NFL. I think now, and they've gone from having the best owner, like Eddie DeBartolo, during the years. He was probably. I think there was a lot of dirty money going on there. But I loved them because we were in the Super Bowl every year.
Amazing.
But I've resigned myself to the fact that we're in for 5 or 6 bad years here probably.
We will reemerge,
Kara.
Yeah, we'll see. We've been talking back and forth about our picks for this coming weekend, the divisional round matchups. The only game that we don't agree on is Seattle-Carolina. Do you have a pick for that game?
I'm going to take Carolina, but Seattle, to win a game that way in like such miserable conditions, like you've got to feel so happy just to be that it's not freezing.
Right? Yes, exactly. Minnesota was terrible.
I think the most dangerous team in the world is a team that survives a game like that. And so I hate ever betting against Seattle, but just home field, I'll give it to Carolina by a field goal or something like that. But I have no confidence in that whatsoever.
Welcome to the good side. I took Carolina as well.
Well, you see,
but I had no confidence in Carolina.
For me personally,
so
I just want no Seattle, no New England from a completely selfish perspective of it's more fun covering a Super Bowl, which I'm lucky enough to get to do again this year, when there's new blood in it.
So you're looking for the sexy KC-Arizona matchup.
Well, honestly, I know that...
Carson Palmer, you're going to Disneyland, baby.
Seattle and New England are great storylines, but it's terrible. If I have to go there and listen to Marshawn Lynch say, I won't get fined, and to go to another Bill... Like, kill me if I have to go to another Bill Belichick news conference.
True that. Sure. James Duthie, TSN Hockey. Hey, we love having you in. Thank you so much for coming by.
You guys are the best. I'm sorry that they broke you up. I'm going to go march upstairs to the offices of the bosses and say that is the greatest mistake of their careers because you guys were dynamite together.
Somehow I think you're going to stop at Tim Hortons and then forget all about us.
Yeah, you caught up in the Tim Hortons probably. Lineup. And,
that's how it is. 3:46.
Oh, yeah.
Wags and DT sipping gin and juice on the Brian Hayes Show. Time
or
now
NyQuil.
For best bets. Yeah, NyQuil. If Puffy gave you, Puffy, one of our producers here, been here a long time, if he gives you some advice, yikes.
Don't drink the NyQuil.
Best bets brought to you by ProLine. Game number 9. I start with Winnipeg at Minnesota. Great news for Winnipeg. Dustin Byfuglien is fully healthy. That said, Minnesota is going to take that one at 1.4. Dallas and Anaheim. Dallas has lost 4 of 5, but they will roll the Ducks. Take the visitor plus at 2.5. And then in a nice little piece of meta joke, game 23 is Akron at Toledo. LeBron James, number 23. Two Ohio teams going at it. Take Akron. Visitors at 2.6. $20 on that gets me $82 when I get all three predictions right. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Get way into the game with ProLine. It's a sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats in your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. 9-8 seconds. Wags, is DeMar DeRozan a max player, yes or no? Three,
no.
Two, I'm with you. It's the Brian Hayes Show. Brian Hayes, Dave Festchuk coming up on the drive from Sportcheck.